Hello neighbors, welcome to Fit to Eat, the Newfoundland Labrador Farm and Food Show. I'm Ivan Emke, your host. Today we head to Labrador for a couple of conversations about growing food there, both in the present and in the past. Some people have this opinion that agriculture must be almost impossible in the big land, but that's certainly not true of the whole territory. Agriculture is challenging in Labrador, no doubt, but many of the reasons for this do not relate to soil or climate or the presence of people who, to put it bluntly, just want to be able to buy more local food.
It's never been an issue of can Labrador soils produce food. You can take that off the table. That's not even a discussion point. It's about how farmers have to operate because of the geographical challenges and because of the networking challenges and because of the infrastructure challenges. You can grow almost any kind of everyday food and sell it here in Labrador. People in Labrador want freshness and they want to know that their food is healthy. And with those two things, you got a huge market as a farmer.
It's a warm day in late August, and it can get hot here. Roll down the window. Join me. We'll head out of the Happy Valley end of Happy Valley Goose Bay into one of the farming areas of central Labrador. We're going to a farm on Mud Lake Road. We've been to the area before on the show. You might even recognize the rooster.
Hi, my name is Des Sellers. I'm owner-operator of Nature's Best Farm. It's a farm that produces vegetables here in central Labrador lowlands.
When you were a little guy, did you think you'd have a farm?
Well, I was always very connected to farming and agriculture. I grew up raising sheep, and my uncles had all kinds of cattle and sheep. And I was very involved with, like, even from a very young age, from cutting hay, using the side and that kind of stuff. So I was always involved in agriculture and always interested into it. But I certainly didn't think I'd be involved in agriculture in the kind of capacity that I'm involved in right now.
So what inspired that?
Well, what happened in my particular case is I left the northern coast of Labrador, coast of Labrador North, and I came to an area that had, very rich farmland. Having the background of farming and being able to understand the soil and perhaps a little bit of the soil chemistry and knowing what kind of vegetables that could be produced and the kind of cereal crops that could be produced, it rejuvenated that interest. Interest kind of got out of control.
First it was a hobby, now it's a habit. You would be what we call, I guess, a second career farmer. Are there quite a few second career farmers around?
No, the farmers that are around are typically the senior farmers that have some connectivity with farming from like myself, from an early age. They probably never had the formal education component always, but they certainly had the practical life experience component. And of course, they're interested in farming and remain interested in farming. But no, the area is certainly faced by challenges around young people coming into farming.
What kind of crops do you grow?
I grow a lot of root and vegetable crops. Cabbage, carrot, turnip, potatoes, a lot of that stuff, but also like spinach, kale, collards, a variety. It's usually, and greens, of course, it's the stuff that grows well in most areas of the province, but I tend to stay away from, what I call the hothouse type crops, the tomatoes and those kinds of things, but that's simply because there's still a huge demand for everyday foods.
Yeah. What sells the fastest?
There is virtually an unlimited market for fresh greens and fresh carrot. Yeah. And also, too, there's still a huge market for the staple foods, potatoes. Yeah. Potatoes that's grown a little bit different than conventional. You can grow almost any kind of everyday food and sell it here in Labrador. People in Labrador, first and foremost, want freshness, and they want to know that their food is healthy. And involved with those two things, you've got a huge market as a farmer. When you produce good food, good quality food, then, you know, that spreads fairly quickly.
What are the particular advantages of growing food here in Labrador?
The advantages, as I see it, is that, you know, you've got control over what people are eating. And, you know, once you start growing good food, then you quickly come to understand that a lot of the foods that are in the supermarkets here in Labrador is really only industrial foods. Yeah. A lot of people still talk about in the community markets that I attend to, they talk about, not only how much better local food is, but also too, like, it has such a longer shelf life, it has so much more flavor, like all of those kinds of issues that come from growing food in a way that's very important to people and it's sustainable.
Yeah. What about the you as a producer as well? Are there things about Labrador in terms of the soil, the sun, the heat units, the lack of bugs or whatever that make agriculture a very positive thing here?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. A lot of the agricultural land here in Labrador or is sandy loam.
I notice you don't have a lot of rocks here.
No, in fact, in 9 years, I have found one rock that I've kept.
One rock? Oh, man.
So a lot of people don't understand that. I mean, we get a fair number of growing days. You can basically grow anything. The only thing that I've never had a lot of commercial success with was stuff like corn. That you may not have the heat units. You got, you know, you'll get the air and it'll look like corn, but it's not the sweet corn. Being able to grow nutritious food here in Labrador has nothing to do with poor soil quality.
There seems to be a public perception, though, that when you say, I'm going up to Labrador to talk to some farmers, and people say, oh, they farm in Labrador. Like, people don't understand that.
No, and they don't, because Labrador has always been known for its fishery and perhaps for its fur and for the forestry. And
hydroelectricity.
And hydroelectricity and resource development, mineral That's development, right? As I told our premier one time in a meeting, Labrador should be equally as well known for its rich farming resources. We can start sowing most of our crops in late May or certainly by early June, and we can have a harvestable crop by October. So that falls within the general regime of most of Atlantic Canada, and we get very warm summers, especially in July, which is typically referred to as a growing month, but they also have August and September as growing months. So you can grow easily certainly anything within a 90-day crop.
So what are some of the reasons why it isn't known so well? What are some of the challenges about agriculture in Labrador?
Most farmers will tell you that around some of the challenges is the lack of infrastructure. And also, too, it's working through and with government policy in a way that makes sense for farmers to be able to own their businesses and operate their businesses from the economic point of view. Yeah. For example, to farm here in Labrador right now, where we, for example, we do not have an abattoir, we do not have the advantage of being able to make use of animal resources to support vegetable and crop production, it means that a farmer here in Labrador has to input everything that he needs to be able to put into the soil by way of amendment. Yeah. Now, that input cost for the average farmer is between 2 to 2.5 times input costs.
So if I want to get some fertilizer here, it's going to cost me 2 times more than if I'm in
a $16 bag of fertilizer in Nova Scotia. Landed here, the cheapest will be $32. So automatically, and when you're dealing with tons of inputs, whether it's fertilizer or amendments, then the cost of doing business is high. About 99% of the products are brought into the area. Yeah. So there's a lot of competition potentially. Yeah. Those two things working together can make it very difficult for young entrepreneurs that want to get started. Or it will take an incredibly long time to potentially get established.
If I have a tractor, it needs a part. How close is the closest tractor mechanic?
Probably in New Brunswick. And in fact, a lot of farmers here will tell you that it's probably easier and cheaper to do business with the establishment in New Brunswick than it is the farming establishment in Newfoundland. And that's what I'm saying is if you want agriculture to develop, there needs to be some very good discussions around how can we network better. I can't bring in fish meal from Toolingate only by boat. And yet we all know the cheapest way of transporting anything is by water. When they put the Labrador Highway through, then the decision was made that any freight would come in by road. And they gave up the boat. And that's exactly what I'm saying, some of the frustrations that farmers are talking about, like, why give up something that you already had that could potentially help support agriculture in a different way? We need to have some very informed discussions as to some of the government policies that that actually really affect agriculture and production.
Yeah. Do you have a song in mind that I can put under this
piece of song?
That you hum on the tractor, or...
I don't usually hum very much.
Well, maybe it's true. Maybe Des doesn't hum on his tractor. There aren't many people around to check with on that. But with some persistence, he did suggest this rather appropriate song to use.
There's a land of boundless beauty, where the untamed rivers run, and majestic snow-capped mountains rise to meet the morning sun. There are silent sunlit valleys, undiscovered, unexplored. It's a home for free of spirit. It's a land called Labrador. Legends of our people spoken in the language of the land tell of hard times and injustice strangers would not understand. As they trekked across the tundra from the highlands to the shore, promise of the land is broken, and our people suffered more.
That's A Land Called Labrador by the celebrated Labrador singer Harry Martin. Today I'm sitting in the shade with farmer Des Sellers. I ask him about the challenge of trying to find folks who are willing to set up new farms in Labrador.
Do you see young people who are interested in farming?
I only know of one.
Yeah.
Hang on to them. I only know of one. The people that would want to come to agriculture, they'd have to see, would certainly need to have a passion for agriculture and a real stick-to-itness as a young new entrants to be able to to be able to really kind of make a go of it. Most farmers here have to work off the farm in order to be able to sustain a farm. Labrador has its own challenges. They're no worse, I guess, than any other part, but they are a different set of issues, and until they are meaningfully addressed, then agriculture, I think, is going to struggle. We desperately need infrastructure here. We need to have cheaper agricultural inputs. A farmer here that buys a piece of technology has absolutely no means, if that technology breaks down, to be able to get it repaired.
Let's talk a moment about land, and it comes up occasionally, and I don't think people fully appreciate the effect that our land system here in this province, agricultural system, has. How do you think that's working for us in terms of not owning land, but you have to lease it?
I don't know of one farmer here in Labrador that would not want to own their own land. The government and the policy analysts will tout two things. They want to protect agricultural land, and they want to get people involved in the agriculture, under the assumption that they can get their 50 acres or so for $92 a year. It's a very cheap way to get into agriculture. And of course, they got programs that can help support the development of farms over time. I've always made the case that, and I've been involved in agriculture since 2009 here in Labrador. The problem with that is that it doesn't look at it from a business sense point of view and business equity point of view. Yeah, I've paid my $92 a year, but I would gladly pay $2,000 an acre to be able to own what I own. Because what happens, you see, as farms progress and as they become more commercialized, there's huge capital cost investments that's required. And it's very easy within a period of a few years to all of a sudden have up to $500,000 equity stake in farms. Now tell me what other business would have up to perhaps $1 million equity stake and not own one square inch of the property that they're on. Farmers have no property rights. And the problem with farming over time is that they can't get their business equity out when they decide to retire or if they become sick or whatever the case may be. So at the end of the day, it's a huge business risk. And one of the biggest challenges in farming in this problem is business risk management. If agriculture is to develop as well, then that has to be seriously addressed. Labrador farmers want to be treated like most farmers in all of Canada. They're prepared to take on risk as good business people. It's been shown here in Labrador that we can produce vegetables with the best of them, but it's not going to happen under a climate where there is this huge business risk factor, and that's going to continue to impede upon progress. And history has shown that within the last 30 years, there's been a revolving door of farmers that have tried agriculture here only to give it up and leave it because they've been so frustrated with the whole land issue. There's no trouble for farmers to go to PEI or New Brunswick and buy a farm overnight. You can't continue to have farms that require that kind of financial commitment and farmers simply not have property rights.
He's agreeing with you. That's the amen corner over there. If the minister were to call you up and say, Des, you've been working on this for a long time. There's an election coming up. I need some wins. What would you suggest in terms of policies?
Take the $500,000 that's allocated to Labrador yearly and actually spend it in Labrador agricultural development, number one. The good news is that we do have money. Yeah. It needs to be committed to the region and committed to the region first before it goes anywhere else. Also to the land development, that is a serious issue to business people. I would also say work with the agricultural community through the resources of the department because there's not enough significant conversations going on so that it can lead to strategies over time that will meet provincial goals and aspirations, but also work within the realities that we find on the ground here in central Labrador. It's never been an issue of can Labrador soils produce food. You can take that off the table. That's not even a discussion point. It's about how farmers have to operate because of the geographical challenges and because of the networking challenges and because of the infrastructure challenges.
Yeah. What's your favorite vegetable that you grow?
Oh, my favorite vegetable has always been cabbage. I've always been a lover of cabbage. I just love to see it grown. It's a beautiful green crop and it sells well and people love it. But I enjoy all foods. I really enjoy just seeing it grow and seeing it develop and talk to people at community markets a lot, and have really good conversations of what can be achieved here.
Let her mountains shine in glory, let her unspoiled waters flow, let her children live in freedom in the valleys of the snow. Lift your voices, sons and daughters, like you've never done before. Let your song rise through the darkness in this land called Labrador. Lift your voices, sons and daughters, like you've never done before. Let your song rise through the darkness in this land called Labrador. In this land called Labrador.
That's Harry Martin with A Land Called Labrador. We'll come back to Des Sellers in a few minutes, but after talking to him about farming in central Labrador, I thought it would be good to talk with somebody who knows about the history of growing food in the region. I knew that the Grenfell missions did tend to have gardens and food production and greenhouses and so on in their locations, starting in the early 1900s even. They had this idea that if you have people you're caring for, you'll need to feed them as well. And there's nothing like growing or raising or catching your own. So I looked up Ron Watts in Northwest River. He used to work for the Grenfell Mission back in the day. I met up with him in his cozy house one morning. I asked him what kind of food they were growing back then in Northwest River.
Potatoes, cabbage, turnip, carrot. You name it, they had a greenhouse which they tomatoes and whatnot into.
Plastic shell?
No, it was a glass.
Glass, okay.
Yeah.
And they grew tomatoes?
Yep, turnips, different
like
things.
Everything. And who was that food for?
For the hospital.
So they figured that if people are laying in bed, getting better, they have to eat something.
Yeah. They had to have a certain diet and that was it.
Did they have animals too?
Yeah, they had cows and they had pigs, which they killed off in the fall. And hens. They had a load of hens. The eggs, my lord. Eggs all year round.
And the cattle were dairy cattle?
Yeah.
So did other people have gardens at that time?
Yeah. Everyone had their own garden.
Did they have chickens too?
Oh, yes. A lot of them had their own chickens and whatnot.
Yeah.
And some had their own cow for milk.
So when did that disappear?
I suppose around the time that Goose Bay was started.
And then there were grocery stores that opened up there?
No. We had the only grocery store here for years. The people working on the base from the coast, they lived not on the base, but Otter Creek was one place on the road between here and Goose Bay.
Yeah.
And they had to come down here and get their food about once a month, I suppose, and stock up.
Things are sort of the opposite way now.
Well, right now, yes.
And people hunted, obviously, here.
Yeah. There's a lot of trappers. This is the trappers.
Yeah. Do you think that, are people starting to be more interested in local food here? Do you see more gardens coming up?
I've seen a lot less.
A lot less. And so Grenfell Mission, when did their gardens stop?
It's hard to say because the Grenfell Mission, what they did was they built two buildings down here now. One there, it's the for education.
Right.
That was built right on top of the garden.
So that used to be gardens.
Yeah, it was all garden, potatoes and cabbage, all right down to the fence. And then as you came up, there was different dormitories.
Yeah.
There's two or three dormitories.
Yeah.
School.
Did they eat all the food here, or did they ship some of the food out?
They used to sell a lot after Goose Bay started to the people in the valley.
Is the soil and the temperature here, is it particularly good for growing?
Yes, it is.
But what kind of fertilizer did they use?
They used kelp and different things.
Yeah,
we had a big cattle manure place there on the road. See, the cattle were let go in the summertime in the day, and they just fed around the village because everyone had fences up, so they couldn't get in their garden.
Did the Grenfell Mission and other places, did they have gardens everywhere they went, pretty much?
More or less, yes. Yeah. If it's suitable for gardening.
Not suitable at all. Idea of self-sufficiency, I guess.
Yeah.
How did they preserve the food? Did they put it up in the
root cellars?
So you had root cellars here.
Oh, yes. We had a big root cellar for the hospital and whatnot, just down the road here into the bank, which is a road now, goes up over the hill, and we'd import a lot of potatoes in the fall.
Did the people pickle as well?
And fish.
Bottling fish.
Bottled up salmon and whatnot, trout. I know the Grenfell Mission used to do an awful lot of salmon canning and whatnot, just for the hospital and the cottages where the kids were going to school.
Oh, yeah. So they had to feed all the kids then?
Yeah. Then in the fall, they'd go out on the coast and get codfish and more or less salt it for the winter.
Well, thanks for taking some time, and all the best here in Northwest River.
You want a cup of coffee?
Lift your voices, sons and daughters, like you've never heard them before. Let your song rise through the darkness. In this land called Labrador, in this land called Labrador.
That was Ron Watts of Northwest River. He worked with the Grenfell Mission for several decades. Thanks, Ron, for your classic hospitality, ending with that offer of coffee. You need a large bladder to do interviews in rural Labrador and Newfoundland. Let's head back to our interview with Des Sellers.
Field now?
Well, right now this is just a little bit past the middle of August. This is typically a time now where I try and go back to controlling weeds. All the main work around cash crops are done, and we grow a lot of what's called the cover crops, barley, the oats, sorghum grass, all those different varieties to build your soil fertility for the next year. You're at that point where you're making plans for next year, and of course soil management is a big piece of that right now.
I think people don't understand that as well. You plant a crop in between the crops that you pick and sell. You're putting more in order to keep the soil alive.
There's a real chemistry to growing food. You're dealing with living things in nature, but you just can't see them. And so if you want to have a good soil, you've got to feed it. And part of that is putting the right mix of perhaps rock minerals and grasses and so on, so that you develop a very rich huge biota in the soil, and that's what makes your food grow, and that's what makes that nutrient-dense food that everyone really loves and enjoys. So, you know, you have to take care of soils just like you would take care of your rose garden bed or something like that. Sometimes it involves a little bit of disturbing the soil, but then at other points in the year you put certain amendments in, and other points in the year you grow things to raise that organic matter. Soil is definitely not an inert material.
And it's not just dirt.
No, it's not just dirt. It's very much a living thing, but it can be incredibly good to you. It'll give you back many, many, many returns.
So 9 years down the road, is your soil more productive now than it was when you first took over?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. That's the challenge with farming, is that you first start out with farming. You have the most inexperience you'll ever have. You have the poor soils you'll ever have. And you got to do the most work that you'll ever possibly dream of doing. So that's the bad news. The good news is that over time, if you massage all those things, again, with an understanding that your soil is your most important asset, then it will get easier.
Well, they say if you want to live long, choose your parents well, you know, the genetics. If you want a good farm, choose the former farmer.
Absolutely.
Very well.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, I still get up every spring, and I'm very enthusiastic to go back at it.
So you'd do it again, and like if it were back 9 years ago, you'd say, for what I know now, sure, what odds?
Yeah, I would go back. See, the thing is I've always wanted to explore the commercial point of it, because I knew the potential of the land, and I truly believe that more young people should be involved in agriculture here in Labrador. And of course, in order to do that, you need to build a commercial business so that they can have a legitimate livelihood. But we're not there. We are a fairly long ways from that, unless we can get certain things together that puts us all farmers in a better position. Farmers know how to grow food, and they know how to run a business. But there's a large commercial, competitive side to agriculture. And unless we have the kinds of practices that's going to allow farmers to be competitive and be able to get legitimate incomes from legitimate work and not a race to the bottom, then it's going to continue to be a struggle. I want to be able to prove, A, that you could grow vegetables, but I also want to be able to prove that there's a commercial side that you can still win on. It might require some investment, but there's certain policies such as land and land equity and those kinds of things that raise a serious questions to young people as well, and you know, and their future is, well, why would you do this? It has to make business sense first, if at the end of the day you're going to develop agriculture, because otherwise people we'll get into it for the nostalgia piece, but then they'll become very frustrated and get it. How do you produce food in a way that makes business sense?
Yeah.
That's where the rubber meets the road. That's where we still find ourselves being challenged.
And you can do it with carrots.
You can do it with carrots.
Thanks so much, Chris.
Oh, thank you. It was it's great.
World, one carrot at a time. One of the things I've been privileged to hear during these shows is the passion and excitement and optimism of farmers, all in the midst of real frustrations, policy dead ends, and infrastructure challenges. The farming life will expand your emotional repertoire, no question.
One of the biggest challenges in farming in this problem is business risk management. If agriculture is to develop, then that has to be seriously addressed. A lot of the agricultural land here in Labrador is sandy loam. In 9 years, I have found one rock.
This has been Fit to Eat, the Newfoundland Labrador Farm and Food Show. To listen to other episodes or for more information, go to www.fittoeatnl.ca. The song for today's show was Harry Martin's A Land Called Labrador, as requested by my guest, Des Sellers. The theme music, Cluck Old Hen, was done this week by Tad Marks. This is a production of Kitchen Table Communications. I'm Ivan Emke. Join me again next time. Happy trails.
challenge with farming is that you first start out with farming, you have the most inexperience you'll ever have, you have the poor soils you'll ever have, and you got to do the most work that you'll ever possibly dream of doing. The good news is that over time, if you massage all those things, then it will get easier.